and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Come on, church. How exciting is that? Plenty going on around Horizon Church right now. Wow, how exciting. Well, I am so stoked to be sharing the word with you. It is such an honor every single time I get a chance to open up the Bible and dig into that with you all. And this morning is definitely no exception. And in fact, this morning is extra special for me because we have some of our closest family friends, Bruce and Robin, here this morning. Can you make them feel welcome? So glad you're here. I know you love the attention, Bruce, so I just wanted to point you out. But we love you guys. Glad you've joined us this morning. But we're in for an amazing morning, and I'm just pumped. I'm loving what's happening in church right now. And you would have heard that ad just on Horizon News just then about this Friday's Young Adults Good Nights event. Come on. So that's coming up in like 5 days' time, and my friend Dave Edgar's coming up from Melbourne. Now, his story will blow your mind. So if you are a young adult or you have a friend who maybe has never even been to church, this is the night for them. And I've asked him to share his story and open up about, you know, the crazy journey he's been on. And so that's going to be amazing. Starts at 8, but food from 7:30, Montien Tong Thai. There you go. $10. What a deal. So make sure you're there and make sure you bring some friends. But this morning, I'm very excited to, as I said, open up the Word. This last week, as Con mentioned, has just been mind-blowing. You know, conference truly was a move of God. God just did something in our church that just kicked us into the next season. And, you know, one of the scriptures that was continually referred to over conference was Isaiah 43 verse 19, where it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And I think, like, you know, we can all agree that what God did at conference kicked us into this new season. God's doing something fresh, that there is, you know, it's like spring has sprung. There's like, you know, that we can see those young saplings of a move of God just rising into what God's called it to. And what's interesting, though, about this scripture, and I suppose where I want to sort of lean into with my message this morning, is that it says God's doing a new thing, but then it goes on to say, "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And it's interesting because perception and our perception has a role to play in what God does in this season. And the truth is, how we perceive something determines how we engage with it. And so something can be happening, but if we can't see it or we don't perceive it, we don't engage with it. And so on that note, I want to turn to our key scripture for this morning, which is in Luke chapter 10. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And if not, that's fine. You'll be able to see the scriptures on the screen. And if your eyes are not the best, you can just listen to my voice and I'll read it to you. So everyone wins. How about that? This is what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And this morning, the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is A Proper Perception. And I'm excited because I really believe this story, as it comes alive for us today, is going to help each of us in our day-to-day lives. So would you join me? I'm just going to pray, ask God to bless this word and just open up our hearts, and we're just going to go from there. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning, that we get to gather again around your word, that every time we open up the word of God, that it brings forth fruit. Jesus, that you, God, do a work in our hearts which transforms us from the inside out. And so I pray that today would be no different, that as your Holy Spirit moves, God, that our hearts will be ready to receive what you're doing. And God, we also just thank you so much for your presence, God. We thank you for those prayer requests being answered this morning. We also pray, God, for those people in Indonesia, God, that are affected by the earthquake, God, and the tsunami. We also thank you, God, for the rain this week. And we just lift up your name and focus our eyes on you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I will never forget the night, right? Milani and I were newly married, and we lived in this little unit. I know, it's very exciting. We lived in this little unit in Cronulla, and I was sort of at the back of Nulla Nulla, just sort of in this tiny little space. And it was the middle of the night, a few months into our marriage, and we're both in bed, and all of a sudden I wake up to this like image or this thing that freaked me out, right? As I open up my eyes and I look, I see, I kid you not, this massive guy standing at the end of our bed. I know, right? Everyone's like, are you serious? I'm paralyzed with fear. I'm just like, and he's not moving, so I'm just sort of like in my head going through what I'm meant to do, right? So do I karate-size this guy? Do I jump up and tackle him? You know, what do I do? And so I'm just sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, I see this tall figure just standing at the end of our bed, and I'm freaking out, right? And I'm just like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, because he must think we're asleep, so I'm just going to not move, and then I'm going to slowly reach over, and I'm going to turn the light on, and once I turn the light on, I'm going to jump him, right? So I'm strategizing all this sort of stuff within like a second or two, and as I'm looking at this guy, and I reach over to my lamp, I'm all ready to go, and then I'm just like, click the light on, I'm like, and as I look, what actually happened, as the light come on, I saw what it was that was freaking me out, and it was on the back of my door. I had a couple of hooks where I had two pairs of jeans and a hoodie hanging up, and I was like, I was like, I'm like freaking out. My line's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. All is well. No problems at all, right? I honestly thought there was a like 8-foot guy standing at the end of my bed, and it was just misperception because I didn't understand what I could see. Because I didn't perceive it correctly, it affected the way that I responded to it. And the truth is, in life, that's what we do. It doesn't actually matter what is going on or what the reality is. It's actually how we perceive it that determines how we engage with something. And we come to this story where we have two people, Martha and Mary. They're in the exact same situation, but they have completely different perspectives of what's going on. You see, we've got Martha, and Martha, when Jesus suddenly arrived, you know, he just rocked up. He just came out of nowhere, and he suddenly arrives. They weren't ready. They weren't expecting it. He was there. Martha instantly perceives the work that has to be done for Jesus. She goes straight to, oh my gosh, he's now here. We need to look after him. We need to, you know, provide for him and his disciples. We need to put on some food. We need to get the place ready. She instantly perceives what she has to do for Jesus. While Mary, on the other hand, exact same circumstance, has a completely different perception. She sees this as an opportunity to be with Jesus. Martha is like, what do I have to do for Jesus? While Mary says, wow, what an opportunity to be with Jesus. And this is how we see this story sort of come about. And firstly, it's important to understand, Jesus was not against hospitality. He wasn't against being hosted well and things being provided for him. In fact, the next time we read about this household, they're all sitting around a table. You know, Martha's serving, Lazarus is there, Jesus, everyone's chilling. Jesus himself cooked food for his disciples after he rose from the dead. He loves the idea of hospitality. It's part of the ancient Near East culture. It's what it was all about in that day. And in that regard, you can sort of understand why Martha, instantly, a man of honor rocks into her life and she's like, I have to do these things for him. Because he is so great, I actually want to do these things for him. So it's understandable. Does that make sense? It's understandable why Martha did this. But Martha missed something that Mary saw. See, this wasn't Jesus having a go at her providing hospitality. This was actually Jesus taking a moment to give us a lesson on perspective. We've been learning a lot. Pastor Brad in particular has been teaching a lot about the idea of a kairos moment. So in the scriptures, there's a couple of different words used when it talks about time. There is chronos time, which is sort of like the time on a watch, you know, minute by minute, hour by hour, the seasons, they come and they go. And then there is kairos time, which is sort of like those now moments, you know, those moments where God is doing something and it's like now. And this is that, you know, that scripture we referred to at the start. Now I am doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? There is this now element to kairos. And what I want to just encourage you all in is that our church right now is in one of those moments. we're in one of those moments that's almost like, you know, it's just not by and by. It's just not the general flow and the rhythm. You know what? This week in, week out, things are awesome. But I'm telling you, there's something going on right now in our church on the other side of conference that is like a God moment. There's a God thing happening in our environment. Do we perceive it? Because if we perceive it, we will lean into it. But if we miss it, I'll tell you what, we will be like Martha who missed something that Mary saw. Both Mary and Martha were in the same circumstance, yet held starkly different perspectives. And the truth is, I think, I love this story because it's almost like God gives us this picture of Martha because we can so easily relate to her. I don't know about you, but I probably, my first response is to get to work, you know, is to get stuck into it, you know, solve problems and to try and fix up things that are happening in my world. That's sort of my first response. And it's almost, I would say, the natural response. So many, when we read Martha, we're like, oh, I hear you. How annoying is Mary, right? She's left you hanging. That's not fair. Jesus, do something, right? And then Jesus, contrary to maybe what we would expect, actually says to Martha, no. She has chosen the better option and you actually need to learn from her. You know, Martha is a sort of picture of many of us in our faith. We approach our faith with a perception that we need to do things for God. You know, it's very easy to perceive our Christian faith in this way. It's almost like we have this demand from God. I don't know if you've ever heard the words come out of your own mouth. I need to pray more. I should be in my Bible more. Man, I really need to be back at church more. You know, there's this sense that we need to do something. There's this demand placed upon us by God. And then in some way, we need to sort of respond to that demand by doing more for Jesus, doing more for God. And I think all of us, you know, have those moments of reality where we are just like, you know what? This is where I know I should be. This is where I am. There is so many things that I should be doing. But with Martha, what we see is that with every perceived expectation that she felt was placed upon her, the burden of that moment became heavier and heavier until the point she snapped. The truth is with us, what happens in our Christian faith is with every perceived expectation that we feel like God places upon us, we become burdened and our lives become heavier and heavier until the point where we are just broken and we are just like, I can't do what I need to do. I'm not good enough. And the truth is, so many Christians live this way under a sense of guilt and under a sense of shame about the things they're not doing for God. We all know that we should be doing more for God. We all sense that. We all feel that. That's almost one of those things that we naturally lean into. But what's so interesting is that it could be not further from the gospel itself. That this understanding that God puts a demand upon us and a pressure upon us to live up to an expectation could not be further from the gospel itself. Do you know, in the early church, this was actually addressed like so strongly because in Acts chapter 15, this situation sort of happens where Paul and Barnabas, it says, came into sharp dispute with some of the believers, some of the people that were saying you have to do certain things to be accepted by God. And I love it because it says Paul and Barnabas came into sharp dispute, which means they recognize that this is something that cannot happen and it needs to be corrected right now. And I actually want to pick up that story because it's an incredible story in Acts chapter 15. And this is what it says in verse 5. It says, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. A whole bunch of Gentiles had started coming to faith, had started receiving Jesus. And the Jewish people of the day were sort of, well, some of the Jewish people, a group of the Pharisees were saying, no. They can't just jump on last minute and receive the grace of God. They need to do the work that we've all been asked to do. They need to live up to the law. They need to fulfill the things that God's required of them. They need to be circumcised into the family as a Jew before sort of becoming a Christian. This is what they're saying. The apostles and the elders, goes on to say, met to consider this question. I mean, it was a real, you know, it wasn't just sort of like, oh, nah, all good. See, we look at the Bible now and there's so much instruction in there that helps us just be like, that's right, that's wrong. But the apostles and elders were like, well, is that right? Like, is that true? Like, are what they're saying, do believers have to live up to a certain standard to be accepted by God? And they met to discuss and to contemplate and to be led by the Holy Spirit. And they started to, as a church, come together and ask that question. And they go on to say this. After much discussion, so like I said, it wasn't a small thing. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them. just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Do you know, the Christian life is not a response to a demand from God. It is actually a response to the supply from God. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God has actually done on our behalf the work that we cannot do ourselves. And the early church were confronted with this, and it had to be addressed. And we, even in today's society and in Christianity, are constantly addressed by this. Do I have to do more to be accepted by God? And like the apostles and like the disciples of the day, we need to say, no, we believe that it is not by works that we are saved, but it is by faith. Ephesians 2 puts it so beautifully, verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Jesus arriving on the scene for Martha placed a perceived demand on her. But she actually had the wrong perception of this visitation. You know, Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, I love this story because it shows God's kindness towards Martha. You know, he recognized that she was under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure. And I want to say to you and encourage you this morning, if you find yourself in this life under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure, if the weight of the world seems to be bearing you down, like Martha, you actually have a Savior in Jesus who wants to meet you where you're at and actually correct that misperception and actually help you to see his goodness towards you, as Pastor Christy shared this morning. And, you know, I think about Martha, I think about this moment, and Jesus' response to this is what he says. He says, "Martha, Martha." You know, that use of her name twice, it sort of helps us to see the heart of this and the tone of this conversation. He's like, "Martha, Martha." Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I hear that tone from God a lot. "Tim, Tim. Oh, Tim." You know what I mean? You're sort of just like, okay, I'm about to be corrected here. God's going to help me out. I'm obviously not seeing something properly. He's like, "Tim, Tim," right? And this is what he says. He goes, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You know, some of you this morning, as I'm preaching, you can hear God sort of saying your name. "Tim, Tim, you've been doing this thing, you've been putting your heart into it, you've been trying your best, but I want you to know it's not actually about what you do for me. The beauty of what I've done is that you get to do it with me." He's like, come to me, come on. Let's chat, let's hang, let's talk, let's actually be together and watch me strengthen you and help you on this journey. So, I mean, one of the logical sort of next steps is you're like, well, does that mean that we don't ever do work for God? That, like, Christianity is one of those sort of kick back, sit back, and let the expansion take care of itself? You know, the truth is, no, that's not what we believe. But it's actually about our perception of the order in which God does what he needs to do. I love this scripture, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, which we read before, because it tells us that it is not by works, lest any of us boast. That we don't get saved because of our good works, because we shouldn't be able to boast about our salvation. But what I love is the very next verse in verse 10 says, "For we," after it says, "not by works, so that no one can boast," it says, "for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we have this sort of conundrum where we're like, but you said it's not by works. But then the very next sentence is that we're being created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So what is it, God? Is it that we don't do works, we do works? It's actually not about works. It's actually about understanding the order in which God leads us into the life that he's called us to. You know, life with God is not passive, but it is not lived out of a place trying to receive or do something for God. It's actually out of a place of supply and God's blessing that we actually get to do the good works. And so what happens is Paul's like, look, nothing that you do will ever make you right with God. It's actually by grace through faith. But once you have received the grace of God, guess what? You're going to be created a brand new person, and you're going to start to find the strength of God in your situation. You're going to find the grace of God on your side, and then all of a sudden, you're going to find opportunities that I open for you, doors of opportunity that I give to you to do the good works that I've asked you and prepared for you to do. And when we have the perspective that says, you know what? God wants me to do big things. God wants me to do great things. God wants me to be a part of an expanding church. We actually understand that that's part of God's plan, but it first comes out of receiving from Him. The work God has called us to do are not works for Jesus, but works in Jesus, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He has planned for you in advance. And this is the true miracle of the gospel. I remember just so clearly hearing from God about what it means to walk with Him and to be saved. And it was simply this. It's that we no longer have to do life for God, but because of what Jesus did for us, we now get to do life with God. And we are restored back to that place of relationship where we are never alone. We always have the support and the help of the Holy Spirit. God Himself is with us and will live in us, it says in John 14. We can all relate to Martha, but we can all learn from Mary. And no part of the Bible is wasted. Every part of the Bible has a lesson for us. And the lesson here is about perception. You see, Mary, excuse me, I'm just going to take a drink of water. You. Our youth ministry, when years ago, when I was a youth pastor, would cheer every single time I take a drink. So I appreciate you guys. You're the best. But check this out. So Martha, we've just heard about, right? She's that person that we can all relate to. Yep, I know what it's like to try and do things for God. But Mary's someone that we can learn from. You know, we can learn things from her life and from her walk with God and from her perspective. Now, Mary in the scriptures is mentioned three different times. The first time we see Mary, she is in deep grief. She's just lost her brother Lazarus. The second time, she's under instruction and she chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from Him. And the third time is in sacrificial worship when she breaks a jar of perfume over Jesus and worships Him in that moment. The first one, when we see Mary in deep grief, helps us to understand Mary's perception of Jesus in that moment. You see, in that moment, John chapter 11, when Mary is in deep grief, she comes to Jesus and Mary perceived Jesus as safe. Safe enough to fall at His feet in her brokenness. Safe enough to fall at His feet in her grief. Her perception of Jesus is that He was safe enough to be real, to be honest, to just lay it out as it is. And the scripture shows us in John chapter 11, verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell at His feet. She falls at His feet. She is a broken woman. She needs His comfort. She needs His love. And she doesn't know anything except that He is a safe place. She perceives Him to be safe and runs Him and falls at His feet. And what's beautiful about Jesus is, you know, He doesn't ask her to get up. He doesn't ask her to get to work. He meets her where she's at. One of the most profound scriptures in the entire Bible is the response that Jesus has to Mary. He doesn't get to fixing her situation. He doesn't get to resolving the issue. It says, in response to Mary falling at His feet and crying, falling at His feet in despair, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Do you know, if you're going through something in your life that has broken you, has hurt you, or there's a situation in your life that is overwhelming and it feels like it crushes you, you can actually come to Jesus in your honesty. And as you just come, real, you don't have to put on a face. You don't have to say the right words. You don't have to have it all together. You just need to have the perception that Jesus is a safe place for me. I can come to Him as I am. I can come to Him in my brokenness and I can just be at His feet. And the truth is, it's not about getting some crazy instruction from God about what to do and what to fix and how to change this and how to do that. It's actually about being in the presence of Jesus and receiving His compassion, receiving His love. Jesus wept. Do you know, I just think there's so many people right now that need to know that when you are hurting, God is hurting. That when you come to Him in your brokenness, He meets you where you're at. You don't have to be something you're not. You can be real with God. You can be real with Jesus. Isaiah 42 verse 3 says, a bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. The message of the gospel is so clear. Come as you are. Come in honesty. Come in your brokenness. Come as you are. And Jesus will meet you where you're at. And He will walk with you from there. First time we see Mary in deep grief. The second time we see Mary is the story that we're referred to this morning in Luke chapter 10. We see Mary being instructed. Now, I love this because this shows us that Mary perceived Jesus as the better option. She perceived Jesus as the better option. Jesus himself said, Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. Do you know, with God, he always gives you a choice. He always gives you a choice. We actually have agency in our relationship with God. We choose to lean in. We choose him. We choose to receive. We choose to get from him what he wants to give us. He actually has done all the work that needs to be done for you and I to receive life and life to the full. It is there waiting, and all he asks is for us to choose him. And every time we choose him, he just the flow of his grace just opens up in our life, and through faith, we receive all that God has for us. Mary chose to lean into God. Now, life is full of distractions, especially in sort of our society, our day and age. It is like distractions are rampant, right? Distractions are like a very, you know, big industry. People make money making games and apps and things to distract people. Distractions are part of our life. And, you know, I think, you know, if you talk to Milani, you'll probably, you know, she'll probably tell you that I can be one of those people that get distracted. It just happens to the best of us, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, one minute we're talking, and it's generally after I've sort of, like, you know, sort of out of back of my mind realize Milani's sort of getting approval for some strange things in this convo that I start to be like, wait, what? You know, she'll be like, can we get another cat? I'll be like, wait, what? She's like, testing you. I'm like, oh, good, sweet, no, right? Or she'll be like, you know what, Tim, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, get distracted by something. She'll be like, so I'm going to spend all our savings on shoes. I'm like, yeah, go for it, awesome. And then I'm like, wait, what? You know what I mean? Distractions are one of those things that just sort of happen in life, you know. You don't mean to be distracted, but things pop up that seem important. Things pop up that seem to be more, you know, urgent. Things pop up that seem to weigh us down. Things that have to be done. Bills that have to be paid. Kids that have to be dropped to school. In the case of Martha, unexpected guests that just happen to rock up. You know, these are sort of the worries of the world. These are the worries that we sort of get burdened by in day-to-day life. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. So this word worried here in the Greek is the word meronia, and it's the same word used in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus says, so do not meronia, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is basically saying these worries, you know what? People that don't know God are crushed by these. But you don't have to be crushed by these, because the pagans that don't know God, they have to handle this by themselves. But you don't have to handle this by yourself, because your Father knows what you need. And if you would come to him, you will receive everything you need. Don't worry about this or don't worry about that. Actually bring yourself and choose me and watch me provide every single one of your names. We all have a choice. What will we lean into? And I mean, I just think for me, I was thinking about some of the practical things happening in my life and ways that I can choose to lean into God rather than lean in to distractions. And, you know, I was thinking about Instagram, one of those beautiful apps that someone created to distract us all. It's amazing. I'm able to stay in touch with friends all over the world. I know what my mate had for breakfast in Japan this morning. It's sort of like, it's all good, right? But the truth is that things like that or the news, you know, can actually become a distraction. They can absorb so much of our time. And I remember God speaking to me, Tim, what are you going to do? Are you going to lean into that or are you going to lean into me? And I don't think Instagram's bad. I love reading the news. These things are, you know, I like that. But God said to me, Tim, come on, don't be distracted by these things. You got to perceive what I'm trying to do in your life here, and you actually got to remember that I've got things to give to you. And so God spoke to me and he says, Tim, you can't check Instagram until you've read the word, right? And I just, for me, it's one of my principles in life. It's like I get up, first thing you do is you pull out the phone and you're like about to go check, you know, your emails, check the news, check Instagram. And God spoke to me that one time years ago and he says, Tim, that word first. So I stop, press pause. You know, this morning I was preparing, I was praying for this and the BBC news app's right there. And I'm like, I wonder what's going on in the world. As I go to press it, I'm like, no, I'm going to keep my attention on the Lord. I'm going to lean into him. I get in the car. On the button, right at the turn of the hour, the news starts to come on and I'm just like, boom, turn it off. Because I knew I didn't want to miss what God was doing and what he wanted to do this morning. So I don't know what it is for you, but there is a choice that we get to make to lean into God. And as we do, we actually get to see the flow of God in our life. Mary perceived Jesus to be a safe place. She could come as she was. Mary perceived Jesus to be the better choice, and she chose to lean in to him. And the third one I want to share is Mary. The third time we see Mary is in sacrificial worship in John chapter 12, when she breaks that jar of oil on his feet and anoints him. The third one is Mary perceived Jesus as God. She perceived Jesus as safe. She perceived him as the better choice. But above all, she perceived him as God. And thanks, Jez. I've asked Jez just to come. We're about to wrap up, and I want to have a time of prayer and just want to let God do what he wants to do in our hearts. But as I think about this perception that Mary had, I realized that it actually framed all of her decisions and all of her choices, because she recognized Jesus as God. Because she understood that he wasn't just another man, she had to be in his presence. We pick up this story in John chapter 12. And our last scripture for this morning, verse 1. It says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. I love this story because Jesus isn't correcting Martha anymore. Again, he's not against us doing works. He's not against us doing good works that he's planned in advance for us. So he's not against us sharing a meal and serving one another and being a part of a thriving, building, growing church and putting in the hours. He's not against that. He loves it. But he needs us to understand and have the right perspective about what service actually is. Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. It's interesting, hey, how Jesus, knowing the heart of people, still chose to have this man in his proximity. He didn't reject him. He didn't push him away. Even though this man continually chose, unlike Mary, to lean in, to lean out. In this moment, we got Judas here contrasting Mary, one person who is giving everything to Jesus and another person who's trying to rob or to steal. And it's amazing to see perspective plays such a huge part. You can be so close. You could have been coming to church for years and you can just be like, eh, whatever, I'm not going to lean in. Nothing special. Or you can be here and be like, you know what? God is doing something, and lean in. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. She was anointing him for his coming sacrifice. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Mary perceived Jesus to be good. While others contemplated what they could do, and their eyes were on themselves, Mary's eyes were lifted from herself to Jesus, and she recognized him for who he was. Do you know, our perception of Jesus determines how we engage with him. Our perception of Jesus dictates the choices that we make. And you know, there's people in this room and your perception of Jesus is skewed. It's damaged. It's a misperception. And I'm telling you, God himself tonight, Jesus himself is actually saying, Martha, Martha, let me correct that. Let me help you to see who I really am. Let me actually bring the correct perspective of who I am in your life. And as you read the Bible, it becomes so clear who Jesus actually is. The Bible teaches us that he is for us and not against us. You know, God doesn't want to crush you. He wants to lift you. He's for us, not against us. The Bible teaches us that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He laid down his life for you and I. The Bible also teaches us that he came not to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. He's not here to point out your flaws. He's not here to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. He's not here to tell you the things you need to change. He's actually here to meet you where you're at. And once you meet him where you're at, I'll tell you what, the natural progression is that things in your life will start to change. But his appointment is to meet you where you're at. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took your place of sin, of shame, of guilt. He took upon himself your brokenness. He took upon himself your failures. He took upon himself everything you've ever done wrong. And he who knew no sin became sin. He became your sin. He became my sin. And he put it upon himself. He died on a cross. This is why Jesus died. He died on a cross so that our sins could be paid for in full. And that our sins would no longer be counted against us. And that if we would believe in him, that we would have the right to be called sons and daughters of God. He actually died on a cross. And the Bible says, John, speaking of Jesus, says, here comes the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb, who takes away the sins of the world. There is no sin that needs separate you from God, because Jesus paid for them all when he died on the cross. He dies. He dies, pays for our sin, but he rises again. He is victorious over death itself. And it says that he gives all people who believe in him the right to be called sons and daughters. We actually rise with him as well. And this scripture that says he who knew no sin became sin goes on to say that so that we might become the righteousness of God. No matter who you are or what your life has looked like to this point, you are not too far from God to be saved. You have not made too many mistakes. There is no sin too great that you cannot be reconnected back to him. All you need to do is accept what he has done on your behalf. And as you do, you exchange your sin, your brokenness, your failure for his righteousness, his perfection, and his position before God. And it's as simple as believing in your heart. The Bible teaches us this. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's like the heart decision to open your life to God actually justifies you before God. You are no longer an unrighteous, broken person. You are now whole, a new creation before God. And the overflow of that justification is the confession of our love of God. And so what I wanted to do, I do want to pray for people who, you know, have been touched by this message in different areas. But before I do, I want to pray for anyone in this room who, as you've been sitting here under the Word of God, you've realized that God is for you and not against you. And maybe you've even been coming to church for a long time, but like the Pharisees, you've been trying to live up to the standards that you think you should live up to. But you hear Jesus saying, no, Martha, Martha, let me explain. If you come as you are, I'll meet you where you're at. Give me your life. I'll take the brokenness. I'll take the sin, and I'll give you my righteousness. If you have never made a decision to receive Jesus in this way, you never made a decision in your heart to say yes to the work of God on our behalf, then this morning I want to pray with you. And I want to pray for you. And just what I want to do right now is, so I know who I'm praying for, I'd love everyone just to take a moment, close your eyes. Close your eyes and focus on God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.